Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love Edgar Wright movies. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again from the waning days of a real life horror show with another Homes Alone edition. It's Wednesday, October 27th, 2021. And my guests today are three people I've actually seen in the flesh over the last few days, which is very exciting. They are Brandon Collins, Noelle Wells, and Edgar Wright. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, hey, hey. Let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically, starting with returning champ from the show that we just did in our nation's capital last Sunday. It's Brandon Collins. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, everybody. This is crazy. I've never won something so many times in a row before. My mom thinks I finally made it. You know, it's a proud moment for me.
You really are in the big time right now.
Yeah, it's like, Mom, don't feel so bad about me being an only child and you being a single mother. You put me in front of a TV where I watch movies, and now it's paying off.
Exactly. All of us that were spending too much time watching TV, not all of us, but a lot of us managed to turn that into a career and a life. And it's, and I love it. And, you recommended Midsommar on the last episode when you were on. And I passed that information along on my Twitter account. And people are into it. People are down with that choice.
It's just a movie. It's a good movie to put on during the Halloween season, especially if you want to see some brutal, violent scenes. And what a beautiful movie. What a beautiful movie that embraces drug use. You know, it's a good movie.
I get uncomfortable.
I have a funny story about Midsommar. That when I went to see it, there's a moment in the movie where like something terrible happens at a cliff edge, and everybody that witnesses is appalled. And then there's a couple that says, "Right, we're leaving right now." Yep. And because the movie is like 2.5 hours long, I remember that within the movie, you then see that couple 45 minutes later still trying to get their car, and somebody shouted out, "Haven't you left already?"
Also joining us, actor, director, writer, singer, and all around ray of sunshine, it's Noelle Wells. Hello, Noelle.
Hello, Doug.
How are you?
I'm good. I feel very, yeah. That's how I feel, man.
Well, this came together quite nicely because, you know, I kind of wanted to have a couple of guests who have, you know, actually seen Edgar's latest movie, and Brandon, being a fancy East Coast critic, got to see it at the Toronto International Film Festival. And Noelle and I saw it just the other night at the Academy of Motion Pictures in here in Los Angeles, their new museum. Has an amazing theater named after David Geffen, I believe. And that was great seeing you there, Noelle.
It was really lovely to see you. And also, Edgar, that your film was the first premiere there. Like, I feel like, are we ganging up on Edgar? Like, we're all like...
Hollywood hugs, Noelle.
We've all seen your movie. Now we're going to talk to you.
Right, but also at the same time, we don't want any spoilers because no one else has seen it yet. It opens Friday in theaters both in the United States and the UK. And... I'm just so excited. It's so great to see a movie early and then it also be something that you are happy to tell people to go see. So let's just introduce him right now. His latest joint, Last Night in Soho. It's Edgar Wright.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey.
Nice to be back.
Congratulations on not only a great film, but a film that you managed to, you know, put out along with another great film also during this whole pandemic thing.
Well, my, it's, I, when I think about the fact it's my second movie of the year, I get immediately exhausted. It makes me want to take a nap. I mean, immediately after this show, I'm going to curl up into the fetal position and not be heard from again for another 9 months.
I mean, it's probably unprecedented that, you know, you usually have projects like kind of, you know, plates spinning, but you're usually not making, you know, two films simultaneously. You usually do them one at a time.
It's the only time that I've ever successfully multitasked in my life.
And of course, we should mention that's the Sparks Brothers movie or Sparks Brothers. And it's a great documentary. And there was a guy, I want to tell Edgar that there was a guy in the audience at the last show I did in Washington, D.C., who said, I said, what was the last movie you saw? And he said, I don't go to movies much. I just saw some documentary. And I like pressed to find out what it was. And he had to ask other people at his table. But the one movie this guy that doesn't go to movies saw in a theater was Sparks Brothers. So I had a
surreal moment on the red carpet at the premiere the other night where Anya Taylor-Joy, who was in the middle, you know, wearing this amazing Dior gown in the middle of doing her red carpet photos, saw out of the corner of her eye Ron and Russell Mayall from Sparks and went, oh my God, is that Sparks? And stopped taking photos and ran over to them to say hi. And I've never seen her as starstruck by anybody else. So that was a particular point of pride for me. And also just that strange thing of your worlds colliding.
Yeah. And also Thomasin McKenzie, who's also in the film, was wearing the loudest dress I've ever heard.
It was like a kind of Busby Berkeley, like sort of old diggers of 1933 costume. It looked amazing. It was all like mirrored like discs. It was incredible.
Yeah, but she can't sneak up on anybody in it.
That's okay.
She can't be doing any creeping.
It's not a good dress for doing burglaries on houses.
Without giving away the story, my first question to you, Edgar, is just, you know, how did the idea for this movie first come about? It feels like it's been something you've been working on for a while.
Yeah, I guess it's like two things. It's like one would just be, I guess, an obsession with the 60s that probably started with my parents' record collection. And then this nagging sort of feeling that I was becoming too obsessed and too nostalgic about a decade that I never lived in. And that thing where you start to question whether nostalgia is like an escape or like a retreat from modern life. I think probably the latter. So that was part of it. And then the second part of it is just having lived in London for 27 years. And Soho, if you don't know it, is like, you know, a square mile right in the middle of town that is slightly like a law under it to itself, which, you know, for hundreds of years, like artists and writers and the criminal underworld have like mixed, and it's not the same as it was, but it's obviously been massively gentrified, but there's still kind of that sort of edgy quality to it. It's still like a place that after midnight, like the dark Brigadoon version of Soho starts to rise up.
And Soho, of course, that's an abbreviation for South of Hogwarts.
I think it's well, I guess because they shot Hogwarts in Scotland, right? So it technically it is south of Hogwarts. I think because in New York it's south of Houston, right?
Uh-huh.
In what I gather is it was like a hunting call that the ground used to be before there was a city there, was like where aristocrats would hunt. And so they would be like, it was a hunting call Soho. I know that sounds bonkers. That is the official explanation. And also London Soho, you know, kind of existed before New York Soho.
Right, right.
Well, that's what they say over there, you know.
Yeah, well, listen, I think most things started in the UK first.
It's true. It all just got shipped over here eventually.
We had York before New York.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Show me the Parliament. I don't think.
One more thing I want to ask about, because I know we're going to, you know, we're here to play some games, but I'm just so excited to talk to you about this movie. And if Noel or Brandon have a question you'd like to ask Edgar about the movie, feel free after I spit this one out. I just want to say thank you on behalf of all the people who hate to see vomit in movies. Why? What was your choice there? Without getting, you know, it's not saying too much to say that someone vomits, but what was the choice there to not show it? Because people always show it, but you are very discreet. You know what's happening, but you don't have to see it.
Well, number one, I knew you had an issue with it, Doug, and I knew you were going to see the movie, and I didn't want to put you off or sort of say on Twitter, no, please, no, there is a vomiting thing. But there is a bit, this is too much, I don't want to get into spoilers, but there is,
right.
She does cough up a dark liquid at one point, but it's not like sort of, there's not a sick scene, no, there's not like a pea soup exorcist scene, no.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, they call them, people that don't like that stuff are called emetophobes. And I started doing a thing where I would just warn people if there's vomiting in a movie, and then it just became ridiculous. You tell people when there isn't vomiting in a movie, because it just happens so frequently, because it's just such a cinematic act. You know, you can fake it. It's easy to fake, and it's disgusting, and it's, you know, it gets your attention.
I want to quickly ask you a question. As an emetophobe, which of these films is worse for you? And by me, The Witches of Eastwick or The Exorcist?
I'm all right. For some crazy reason, The Exorcist doesn't bother me at all. I don't know why. Maybe because it's just
broken, Doug.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess because of my not being religious, you know? I mean, it's a scary, awesome movie. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying the pea soup coming out. I guess also just everybody referring to it as pea soup. but Witches of Eastwick and Stand By Me, I mean, you nailed it. Those are two of the most disgusting sequences that I can picture in my head, exactly what, like, they're just, you know, they're just scorched into my brain. I'll never forget those. But I also like both of those movies. So I just, you know, just have to lump it and, you know, suck it up and get through it.
Not suck up the vomit, though.
No. Stay away from that entirely. Noelle, do you have a question about Last Night in Soho?
Well, I have a comment, which was, I guess I went into the movie completely blind, which I love to do. I don't like reading anything. I just like to have the experience. So I feel like I went on the journey probably as you intended. And I texted you, Edgar, and I said that like a tagline I would say for it is like, nostalgia kills. And I thought that was like so cool how that, like, I wasn't expecting, you know, where the movie went. My question would be, how do you describe it to people without, you know, giving anything away, or like, what's your tagline?
I think it's a similar, I always say a cautionary tale for time travelers. It's like, even if you, you know, if you, I mean, I'd always, that would be a similar thing, would be like something about the dangers of romanticizing the past. Because I think, you know, it speaks to that, you know, a lot of recently people have been using the phrase the good old days a lot. And, you know, to say the good old days is to imagine a decade where everything was great and nothing was bad, which is, of course, bullshit. So it was really sort of inspired by that idea, is that, you know, the 60s at its most reductive, people like think about, oh, Austin Powers and, you know, like people in mini dresses dancing in the middle of Carnaby Street. But of course, the darker side was there and huge and not to be ignored.
Yeah, I dressed as an homage to Gene Seberg in Breathless for your movie premiere.
I really appreciate that.
and I made a purse out of newspaper, and I was surprised at how in the movie there was like some kind of tie-in to that. But anyway,
talk about that, 'cause that's the opening scene of the film. That's not a spoiler, but
she's like wearing a newspaper dress, and I was like, what the fuck, like I just made this today. And my friend who came with me was like, that is so weird. And but I'll say, because I didn't want to just dress up
as
our mutual friend Gabby, you're right, sorry, but I will say I listened to a podcast that was like really breaking down Jean Seberg. Like, I've read her wiki and stuff, but I like really went into a deep dive, and I was like, man, this time
the Karina Longworth podcast.
Yes.
She was there. She was at the premiere on Monday.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Well, I was listening to her podcast running up to your premiere, and yeah, like the 60s, it's, you know, she's a Pinterest icon, Jean Seberg, and we love how, you know, beautiful and fey, but she was just like abused by her directors and was like passed around from husbands. And it's glamorous, but it's like really, really messed up. And I thought your movie was like a perfect encapsulation of that.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
But also it's a fun night at the movies on Friday.
Yes, it's a fun movie. It's beautiful. It's so great. I mean, yeah. Yeah. So
if you like your glamour, if you like your glamour messed up, this is the way to go. Cause it's all in one. Do you like the tagline they put on the poster, Edgar?
Which one? I think there's two in different countries.
Okay. Yeah. Cause this is the one I saw: a murder in the past, a mystery in the future.
Yeah. I like it.
You should just change it to Nostalgia Kills.
Just yourself like Doug Benson says no vomit on screen.
That's perfect, right?
You're getting some really good pull quotes from this podcast.
And then, the other thing I said was it was surprisingly terrifying.
I think surprisingly terrifying is a good pull quote.
Yes. Yeah. Because Noelle's not normally into scary movies, so you tricked her on this one.
I got tricked for sure. I'm just, yeah, it's 100. Yeah, I was 100% tricked. You will be tricked by this film.
Listen, if on the TV spot, the voiceover guy goes, rated R, like that, you know that it's going to be intense, right?
Yeah.
How he says it, right?
That's a real giveaway. If they just go rated R, it's like, oh, somebody just drops an F-bomb and they just didn't, it was too precious to cut. or I should say a second F-bomb, because you can do one now, right? And get that PG-13.
Yeah. Has to be non-sexual though.
Yeah. So you just has to be like, fuck it.
If your car is broken down and you say, yeah, fuck this car, you could get a PG-13. But if you say, I want to fuck that car, that's an R rating. If you've seen the movie Titan, but that's exactly what happens.
And what about, was it tough for you to get the amount of violence that's in this movie past the, the censors for the R rating, or was it?
No, I don't think it's actually, weirdly in the UK, it's my first 18 certificate. Which I think sort of, was causing sort of some consternation to the distributors. But as a kid who grew up with the idea that like horror movies should be 18, I always think sometimes in the UK you have the 18 and the 15, and sometimes you get these films that are saying the most intense movie of the year, 15. Or the most grueling horror movie you've seen, 15. I always think that's kind of funny in its own right. So I wasn't too worried about getting an 18 in the UK, but I don't think it's that. It's sort of it builds up to something. It's not like it's violent all the way through.
It's pretty amusing though when a horror movie here has a PG-13, because I'm already like, oh, well, that's how's that going to be scary? You know, because it's the threat of violence is still the number one scary, thing to me as a moviegoer, when I'm seeing a scary movie. So if I know it's PG-13, how intense is it going to get? A ghost is going to push a book off a shelf.
But in a similar vein, like the voiceover guy has to work extra hard on those TV spots because then he just goes, rated PG-13. Yeah. Is that making it sound more intense than it is?
Well, good luck with it. I'm sure it's going to be huge. It's, you know, been delayed so many times that you just sort of landed on Halloween weekend. That was never the intent.
No, it was.
It was
originally scheduled for April, but in the UK, UK cinemas weren't even open in April. So we were actually the people that pushed it to October because it felt like, you know, it didn't feel like a summer movie. It felt, you know, if it had come out in April, the UK cinemas weren't open. So we had the opportunity to push it and we all thought, let's go to October because it's the kind of movie that it feels like the right movie when the nights are getting longer. That's how I feel about it. So I was behind the push.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, most movies...
Again, Edgar Wright gets what he wanted again.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is a much better time than April, but I was also, you know, that delay didn't make me very happy. It made the movie, it built it up more for, you know, there's more excitement about it because it was supposed to come out so long ago and it's been finished for so long. And I'm glad we're finally here. And that you're here to compete with Brandon and with Noel. And we're going to play those games that I talked about right after this break. We'll be right back.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back, and I've prepared a couple games for everybody to play. Brandon is on a tear. He seems unstoppable, but we'll see. If Team WW, if Noel Wells and Edgar Wright.
NW and EW together.
Yeah. Ooh, and knit. And this first game we're going to play, it was awesome that we were just talking about taglines because it's called Whose Tagline Is It Anyway? I'll say a tagline from a motion picture. As we know, there's several different ones that are generated for different posters and ads and things. So some of them may be more, you know, obscure or weird than others. Brandon gets to go first. I'll say the tagline. You guess what movie it's in. If you're wrong, Noelle gets a shot at it. If she's wrong, then Edgar gets a shot. And we proceed accordingly. Until someone has, well, we'll see whoever guesses the most right. But these are tough. So there will be a theme as well that will emerge. But of course, you won't know what that is on the first one. You ready, Brandon?
You're getting very gravelly, Doug. It's quite sexy.
I think that's during the description parts that I have to do over and over again. My voice gets more serious. Brandon, you're... First tagline is simply, it's delicious with an exclamation point.
It's delicious?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet and sour? I feel like that's a movie I saw in the 90s.
That is not... the correct answer. We go to Noelle.
I feel like maybe a zombie movie. Let me. It's delicious. I don't know. Do I have to guess one? I'll just say one.
You don't have to, but, you know, it'd be fun if you guessed and you were right.
Well, I just said ratatouille, which feels really good. Sorry.
No, that's a good guess. I'm not clear what that dish ratatouille is, but I do know that. Because also his name isn't, it's confusing because his name isn't ratatouille. He's just since he's a rat chef, they call it that. His name's Remy. Anyway.
Have you never had ratatouille, Doug?
I may have had it or, you know, saw it, but I just right now couldn't tell you what it is. What is it?
It's like, oh my God. I mean, it's like sort of peppers and vegetables in kind of like a sauce and stuff. My mum used to make it and I really, really did not like it. And I still have that strange, horrible sense memory of like, when I think of ratatouille, it's like, eh. So no, not a ratatouille fan, but I love the movie.
That was the only dish in the movie where I was like, that doesn't look great.
as an 8-year-old, it didn't taste great, but I like them. It doesn't, you know, it didn't put me off the movie.
That's good. What do you think this
my movie curveball, would be? I'm not sure, but I'm going to say, is it Larry Cohen's The Stuff?
That is a terrific guess, but that is also incorrect.
Okay, hold on.
But maybe these next ones will be a little easier because you'll maybe get an idea what the theme might be. But It's Delicious was a tagline for Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Brandon, here's the next one.
Oh, Jesus.
Love is what it's all about. And another exclamation point. These are some excited taglines.
Love
is what it's all about.
Love don't cost a thing.
No.
All right. Well, I'll go fuck myself.
I mean, you know, could be that. Noelle, what do you think it is?
Well, I feel like I know what the theme is. So, I mean, I'm just going to guess. I'm going to say, is it My Fair Lady?
No.
Okay.
Edgar?
I'm going to continue on this same theme. Is it Roman Holiday?
Oh, that's also a terrific guess. But the answer is Sweet Charity.
Oh, now I should have known this because I know what you're doing now. God damn it.
All right, Brandon, you're up again.
I point out at this moment that in the opening scene of my movie, there are posters for Breakfast at Tiffany's and Sweet Charity on Thomas and Mackenzie's wall in the opening scene. So I should have known that one was coming.
Sweet Charity's with Shirley MacLaine, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bob Fosse's debut. Amazing movie.
Yeah, and both of those movies are just, the fashion is just like, I mean, they're very good picks for a girl that's wants to be a fashion designer in her, in her room. But now that's the end of those posters from her room. So where is it going to go from here, Brandon?
Oh, geez.
You ready?
No.
What movie has the tagline, "Look out, here comes the biggest Bond of all"?
Here comes the biggest Bond of all.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta pass. I'm blanking.
Noelle?
Well, I know what's happening. I wish I knew. I'm trying to look at the movie in my head. Hold on. Because I think I know what's happening. I can cue up Edgar. Maybe. I feel like the biggest Bond of all would be a Sean Connery Bond movie. Perhaps. But I don't. Maybe like Goldfinger. I don't know.
I know what it is.
That is incorrect. Edgar, what is it?
I know what it is.
Yes, it's you do. It is Thunderball.
No, you were right. It is a Sean Connery Bond movie.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. One off. You went for the one before. It's the one off.
I have a question then. Is it movies that were in his movie?
Yeah, the poster for Thunderball is also in Last Night in Soho. Yes.
Okay. Cool. All right, I got it. Because I was like,
Yeah,
I was thinking Thunderball or Your Majesty's Service, but then I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. So I psyched myself up.
Well, Honor Majesty's Secret Service would have been, you know, interesting nod, but I think that the year wouldn't time out right.
Mm.
But it would have been fun to see.
I was almost going to say Honor Majesty's Secret Service, but then I remembered it's Thunderball. But I think the Honor Majesty's Secret Service tagline is something like, look up, look down, look out.
They're just, it's just all the tagline's just trying to make you not realize Sean Connery's not in it. You know? Look over there.
Look over there. You know, Connery's gone. Look over there once we reach out Bond.
Yeah. But, you know, Diana Rigg, of course, is in your film and, of course, was married James Bond in On Her Majesty's Secret Service. So briefly
married to Bond.
Yeah, so brief. And also probably one of the most, I feel like her death in that movie is one of the most violent, you know, like you usually don't see a bullet hole in somebody's head like that, you know.
It was
intense.
Funny, like the end of that movie is really touching. Also, like George Lazenby, you know, who in the movie is sometimes kind of post-dubbed and stuff. Like it's you know, it's an interesting performance because obviously he had big shoes to step into with Sean Connery. But his performance in the last scene is really good. I always like really struck by that. It's one of the great endings of any of those movies.
I think it's a very solid entry in the series.
Yeah.
But of course, Thunderball, that shot that you have in the movie of the Thunderball, you know, that huge display that's on the outside of the theater is just, you know, it's an amazing shot and, you know, and a great tribute to the Sean Connery Bond movies in general, I think.
When we were shooting that scene, members of the public thought that Thunderball was playing there when we were trying to get the kids.
All right. Well, Edgar won that game. Congratulations. He's back in it to win it. And we're going to play one more game to determine our winner today. And we'll do that right after this break. We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We are back with our friend Brando Collins.
Hey.
I call him, you know, it's Brandon, but I call him Brando because that's a fun movie word. And then Noel Wells and Edgar Wright. Edgar won the last game, so he gets to go first in our next and final game today. Filmily Feud. It's just like Family Feud, but the questions are mostly about movies. Yeah, all of these are about movies. I don't know why I said mostly.
In the UK, this game show is called Family Fortunes.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it has a different title. But do they have the same? What's the noise that it makes when you get a wrong answer on Family Feud? Oh, okay. So Family Fortunes, it goes. Two-tone one.
Always have to be extra over there.
Yeah, it sounds like a buzzer that's like shorting out or something.
Well, we added an extra syllable to the title, and we added an extra part to the no noise as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a big red X comes up and and the buzzer sound. And but this is basically very similar game. I polled people on Twitter various silly questions, and each of you will get to take turns guessing which one of the answers you think got the best response, and whatever percentage out of 100 that answer got will be added to your score. The person with the most points after three rounds wins. And everyone's going to get a chance to go first once. We'll rotate who goes first. But since Edgar won that game, he gets to go first on this very first question. The question is, and I'll give you all the answers that you get to choose from. So there's either like four or three answers, and you just get to pick one, and Edgar gets to go first. If you're going to get killed by, you know, a Jason or a Mike Myers type, you know, a movie slasher, which method would you prefer? And I asked people, would they prefer knifing, chainsawing, javelining, or being tickled to death? Out of those four, Edgar, which one do you think people voted for the most?
I mean, maybe this is exactly the opposite of what it would be, but let's say tickled to death.
It's just such a crazy concept to me because, well, sure, it sounds like it. I mean, it's still got to be painful enough to kill you, right? So it's not like really being tickledness. I don't know. I don't get it. But anyway, okay, so Edgar's going with tickled to death. Brandon, which one would you like of the remaining three? Knifing, chainsawing, or javelining?
I'm going to go with knifing.
Okay. Any reason behind that?
I mean, no one wants to get killed with a chainsaw. Full disclosure, I don't know what javelin means, so.
Well, like, you know, a javelin went through you, like in, like that spike in the first Omen movie.
Oh, yeah, so knife. Yeah, absolute knife.
Okay.
The javelin would be over fastest, I think, out of the four of them.
Yeah, well, that's another way to look at it.
If you get a knife straight to the heart, you know, you're good to go. Or the head, you know, just before that happens, so, yeah.
Chainsaws are just so upsetting to me because it's, you know, first, not only are you getting killed, you have to put up with all that racket.
Noisy.
It's so noisy.
That's why I would say I would definitely just go out by a chainsaw. So I would pick chainsawing.
Just to get it over with quicker?
Well, also it's like, you know, if you know you're going to die, you might as well just like really go out with a gruesome bang. And I think it would be the fastest, and it would, the noise would be so loud you could drown out your own screams. So.
All right. Well, that was a
dark response.
I mean, can't... we're having to death. Like, I want to be pragmatic about it.
I can't speak to, you know, the poll respondents. I can't speak to their reasoning, but they like javelining the best.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. Yeah. 40% of the people polled picked javelining. Coming in second after javelining was tickled to death. And that was 30%. So Edgar gets 30 points for that. And then...
Be clear, did you poll the Olympic Village? Is that who you asked?
No, I just asked, you know, people that are on Twitter. So, you know, I have no idea of the, you know, I assume it's mostly teenage boys, if I had to be honest. And then chainsawing... got 15% of the vote, so Noel gets 15 points there. And then poor old knifing, I guess, you know, people just don't want to be knifed. I guess it's, you know, obviously it takes too many, you know, it has to keep, you know, you have to keep getting stabbed to really, for it to be effective, and that wouldn't be any fun. So they said 14% of the people answered that one. So we still have a pretty tight game considering how high up the points can go on these. The second round starts right now with Brandon getting to go first.
Oh, Lord.
You're having an intimate monster party, you know, like in the film Mad Monster Party, but only have room for three guests. Who doesn't get an invite? Do you blow off Dracula, the Wolfman, the Invisible Man, or the Mummy?
I would blow off the Invisible Man because you're not going to know if he's there. It's just wasting a seat.
I mean, I think if anybody took that seat, they'd know he was there. Because you could still feel the Invisible Man, I think. But also, I'm thinking of the Invisible Man like walks around with sunglasses and a fez on. He's like polite that way. Like, you know, oh, that I could see a man is coming towards me because he's, you know, got all that stuff on his head.
Well, for me, that's like even creepier. I'd rather have like a full Dracula and Wolfman than like a dude who's invisible and just has sunglasses and a creepy wig, possibly.
I just feel like the Invisible Man was probably the easiest to animate by when, you know, Rankin Bass made Mad Monster Party. All right. Who's up next? Noelle.
Yeah, I would definitely blow off the Wolfman. I feel like he's probably gropey, you know. Don't want him at a party.
Well, right, but if the party's over by, you know, if it's like an early party, maybe he'd just be a normal guy. He won't turn into a wolf until
I see,
the full moon comes out.
Yeah, but then that means he's not even gonna stay for the fun. He's taking up somebody else's, you know. Like, I feel like,
right.
Yeah.
Wolfman's not a good late night hang, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, he's not exactly.
What do you think, Edgar? With between Dracula and the Mummy, who would you like be like, mm-mm?
Well, Brandon and Noel have taken my two sort of next picks I would have had. I probably would have gone for Invisible Man first and Wolfman second, because Wolfman's a wild card. Dracula, like, you would not trust Dracula with your girlfriend. If you left the room, you'd go out and come back and she'd be sucked of blood and be one of his brides. That's not good. But I guess like Frankenstein, again, is just sort of like unpredictable. Like, you know, he doesn't know his own strength. He's got terrible manners. He doesn't really understand what's happening. And the chances of him kind of choking out another guest are high. So let's get rid of Frankenstein's monster. Now, let's be clear, it's Frankenstein's monster, not Dr. Frankenstein, right?
It wasn't. Neither of them were available. They both have other plans that night.
Wait, am I got it wrong? What was
the fourth choice is the Mummy.
Oh, sorry.
Dracula or the Mummy?
In my head. Okay, so yeah, I'd say the Mummy. I think Dracula has to stay because he's the most glamorous of the four. So he's a good get. Do you know what I mean? Like having a count, he's royalty. Like, it's still, that's good. So he's a good guest to have at Pike's. Let's get rid of the Mummy.
You're right about that. Like, every Dracula is played by, you know, pretty charismatic actors. Yeah. Yeah. It really, Dracula.
If you were having a party and Count Dracula showed up, it would be quite exciting.
I will say Gary Oldman's Dracula, though. I'm not sure if I want him at my dinner party. Like, I'd be like, dude, I'm not sucking from your chest. Like, don't
Christopher do Lee, though, with his my God.
George Hamilton would be great to have. Yeah, Langella's a great one. Yeah, there's some good Draculas out there. All right. Everybody really did a great job avoiding Dracula on this one, because only 3% of the respondents thought that Dracula should be uninvited. And I'd like to know what their issues are with
that. Is he sexy?
Yeah. And then also not getting a lot of bites here. The Wolfman comes in only at 9%.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's a shame. Poor Wolfie. So you got a little bit of a bump there, Edgar, by picking the Mummy, because that one is at 21%. But coming in at number one, nobody wants an Invisible Man at their party. 67%.
Yeah.
I think I blame Kevin Bacon's Hollow Man for why no one would want him there.
Oh, man, that's true.
You know,
very terrible things in that movie. So
yes. Yeah, and also the most recent Invisible Man. It's just like something about getting to be invisible. Oh, yeah. You know, makes you do bad things.
Oh, but that movie was incredible, though. That little talks about that. It was awesome.
But if he was a fun Invisible Man, it's like, can the Invisible Man juggle? Because that's a good party trick to have at a dinner party, right?
Yeah, that'd be so fun to watch. You know, juggling by an invisible person. But you know, some jerk would just walk over and slap the balls down, you know, because they just wouldn't be able to stand it. We've got one more round. It's still anybody's game looking at these numbers. And Noel gets to go first on this one. Who would you rather be stuck in an elevator with for 3 hours? So this is longer than the motion picture that they were in. It's 3 hours in an elevator with Tango or Cash. Or third choice, I just prefer to be alone.
In an elevator?
Mm-hmm. So you got Tango, played by, I hope I got this right. Is Stallone Tango?
This seems like an important part of the game to know which one's which.
I think he's Tango.
Stallone's Tango and Kurt Russell's Cash.
Kurt Russell's Cash.
Okay. I remember, like, let me, no, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to remember their full names. Is it Ray Tango and Gabrielle Cash? Is that their names?
I hope so.
It's definitely Gabrielle Cash. I remember that bit.
Because they both sound like nicknames, you know, that someone would get, but they're their actual last names.
Better than Hobbs and Shaw, though, right? Tango and Cash at least has some panache to it. But I remember thinking, wait, the film's called Hobbs and Shaw? I felt really boring surnames, guys.
Yeah, Tango and Cash is a lyric in a great Tenacious D song, and you're never going to hear Hobbs and Shaw in a song. Okay, so Noelle, Tango, Cash, or you'd prefer to be alone?
I would because we're not assuming that either one of them are going to get us out of the elevator, correct?
Oh, that's an excellent point. I mean, I don't know. They're both shorter in person than you'd think.
I just, you know, the machismo of being stuck in an elevator with a man, you know, like for 3 hours. I would definitely just choose to be alone.
Okay. I hear you. I'm open to that idea.
Yeah, so I'll just do that. Also, because
okay.
Also, I've never seen the movie, so I can't really make that. An educated
Let's go to Edgar then. What, from the remaining two, the two fellas, Tango or Cash, who do you think the people would rather be trapped with?
As I recall, Cash is played by Kurt Russell, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so I would rather spend 3 hours in a lift with Kurt Russell than Sylvester Stallone. So I think I have met Kurt Russell once, and he is an utterly charming person, full of stories, and very funny and sweet. It's like Cash all the way. Kurt Russell, please, for 3 hours. It would be a pleasure to share a lift with Kurt Russell for 3 hours.
I mean, it kind of would be. Like, he would be annoyed at how, like, happy he'd be about it.
ask him about Big Trouble in Little China for 3 hours.
Oh my god, I just spend the entire time going, you know, Jack Burton would get us out of here.
How come you were never in Stargate, a sequel or anything like that? What happened there?
So yeah, you're stuck with Tango there, Brandon.
I'm actually fine with that, because if memory serves, doesn't Tango kind of like always save the day? Like, he always gets them out of the situation, I think.
Oh, he's better at all that shit than the other guy?
I think so. I think he's a little bit more like, from what I recall, I feel like he saves Cash a few times.
Wow.
Why wasn't the choice like Sylvester Stallone, Kurt Russell, or Terry Hatcher? Oh, that would be great.
Because everybody wants to be trapped with a desperate housewife. all right. So I'm sitting here working out the scores, because it was a bad idea for me to play a game where there's math involved, but I should be able to figure this out. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 2. Okay. Anyway, turns out people would rather not spend time with Tango or Cash. Yay. 73% said they prefer to be alone.
Jeez.
Yeah. And then let's see here. Cash, though, is the preference between the two of them at 21%, and Tango is stuck with the remaining 6%. So that gives, by my count, that gives Brandon 87 points, and Edgar has 72 points, and Noelle has 97. Noelle, you are our winner today.
Woo!
Nice.
Congratulations. You've ended Brandon's epic run. he won five times in a row, and it's finally over. Noelle Wells, you get to do your plugs first. What would you like to plug?
Oh, wow. The second season of the animated show Star Trek Lower Decks is on Paramount Plus. This season finale came out, I think, 2 weeks ago, but you can still catch up. So that's what I'm plugging. I play Tendi on it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. The second season's amazing. It's so fun.
I hear it's super fun and funny, and like you don't need to be, a Trekker to, get into it.
Yeah, and I've had to catch up on Star Trek because I didn't, when I auditioned for it, I didn't even know what I was auditioning for, and I had not been involved in the Star Trek universe, so I've had to be brought into it. But yes, I would say that you can watch it not having been a part of the universe and probably also get inducted into it, like as a fan, because the show's so funny and so accessible.
Very good. I will, my team, which is mostly just me, will reach out about having you back on very soon as a returning champion.
Yay! Amazing. I haven't won anything for such a long time. I see what you feel, Brandon.
Well, Brandon's just been winning it nonstop, and this is your last chance to plug, Brandon. What would you like to plug today?
Oh, man. Folks, y'all can follow me at American Collins and all social media platforms. And then check out my movie review podcast, Medium Popcorn, where we spoil movies new and old, and we say insane things. The most recent episode on Urban Legend, we actually do a freestyle as The Rock and Idris Elba. It's one of the funniest things you'll ever hear. So check that out.
It sounds pretty good. And then Edgar Wright, Last Night in Soho, in theaters.
Am I not allowed to plug it myself?
No, you like fill in all the rest of the details you want to say. I just like to, I like when I know the actual facts, I like to say them.
I'd like to plug Last Night in Soho, rated R, out on Friday. And Doug Love's movie winner, Noel Wells, says it's surprisingly terrifying.
and Doug Benson says you don't have to see the vomit.
No vomit on screen. Brandon, always great. What's your pull quote? We need a pull quote from you.
Oh,
I would say good music, good vibes, darkness all around.
That's a good tagline. I mean, yeah, that's good. Good music, good vibes, bad times.
Just like what? I gotta see this movie.
Good times, good vibes. Oh goodness. It turns. But that's the fun, is I do like that it's so stylish and so fun to watch, and then but then also has some scary stuff in there. And those people that responded to knifing so poorly might end up sitting this one out. But like Edgar said, it's quick and easy. I mean, Noelle Wells doesn't even like horror movies, and she got through it.
I more than got through it. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. So that's really saying something. What?
Nobody gets killed by a javelin in it. Let's stress this much.
Yeah. I just had that in my head because I was watching The Omen on the original Omen the other night. I was watching on TV as I was trying to fall asleep, and I ended up staying awake for all of it because, you know, it's just every scene that as it starts, you go, oh, this is a great set piece. It's just like a series of set pieces. A different person dies or gets injured in each scene. and it's pretty entertaining. Be sure to follow Doug Loves Movies on Twitter and check out my tour dates at douglovesmovies.com. And I always end every episode now with trying to do it in a positive way by ending with the last line from a movie, because there's so many memorable last lines, but also so many that are just they don't serve the function of necessarily being a wow moment. The movie just ends. But do you have a favorite last line from any of your previous films, Edgar, before Soho?
Oh, that's a good question. I have a favorite last line from another movie.
Oh, that's even better. I mean, not better, but I'll take it.
I really like the last line of "This is Spinal Tap" when Christopher Guest is talking about wanting to work in a chapeau shop. Mm-hmm. Rob Reiner says, "Would you really like to do that?" And Christopher Guest says, "I don't know. What are the hours?" And then the film just ends. That's one of the greatest end lines ever. "I don't know. What are the hours?"
Yeah, and you know, you do the voice perfectly. But I'm going to do it in my own accent here at the end. And thank you for being here, Edgar Wright, Noelle Wells, and Brandon Collins. As always, I don't know, what are the hours?
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no